They're like, you know, I don't care about you. I just want you to visit my webpage. And that's the message they're sending. And the people on the receiving end are getting that message.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Business of Freelancing podcast, where we help you get better clients, make more money, and live a happier and healthier life freelancing. I'm your host, Brendan Dunn, and today I've got a really awesome interview that I've been really excited about. My good friend, Moshe Mars, who's also going to be speaking at the conference, Double Your Freelancing Conference, this September, she came on to talk about social media. And I've got, if you've been following my work for a while, you know I kind of have this love-hate relationship with social. I mean, obviously I'm on Twitter. Facebook is still kind of more of a friends and family thing for me, but you know, I try to keep active on Twitter, and I've always been critical about using social as a sales, as a thing to sell with. You know, I'm very sold on email. I know how effective email is, and I've done my own testing. You know, I launched the second version of Double Your Freelancing Rate, I launched it on Twitter a few hours before the email launch, and it was literally night and day when you factor in the number of people kind of being exposed to the tweet and the email, you know, in comparison to the results. But I wanted to bring Moshe on because she's built up a really successful freelancing business for herself that has used social media extensively to source new clients. And so I think you're going to really like this interview. Before I jump into the interview, I do want to thank all of you who have been leaving reviews again on iTunes. Really appreciate it. Again, I'm hoping my goal is to get to the new and noteworthy section of the iTunes directory at least. And besides that, I've got a lot of really interesting things on the horizon that you'll be hearing about. You already know about Freelance Answers. The first episodes should be coming up soon, both on iTunes, iTunes Video, or iTunes Podcasts, the iTunes Video Podcasts, along with YouTube. And I've got just a lot of really exciting things to share that I'm going to be sharing both on my newsletter, which if you're not on that, you can go to doubleyourfreelancing.com/newsletter, along with, I'll probably be sharing a lot of them on the podcast too. But let's dive right into to my recent interview with Moshe Mars. I'd like to introduce guys to Moshe Mars. I know I butchered your name. I'm sorry about that. But I just want to welcome you to the Business of Freelancing podcast.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Cool. So you are the expert. And in fact, you know, we're going to be working together sometime in the future regarding my own social media presence, I guess. But, you know, when I look at the work you're doing and I look at kind of, you know, just kind of follow your updates, I know you are very effective when it comes to Facebook and Twitter and using that as a way not only just to obviously kind of build up an audience or whatever else, but more importantly, to get clients. And I wanted to bring you on to just kind of talk about how we can get clients using social media.
Sure.
So why don't you, before we dive into that, why don't you give me a quick background on who you are, what you do, and how you got to where you are now?
Yeah, so I actually founded my agency called Super Spicy Media right after getting fired from my previous job on an advertising agency. So that was kind of fun. We didn't really, at an advertising agency, we didn't get along because I was always more into digital media and digital advertising, such as, you know, Facebook as well, and Twitter and Instagram and any other thing on digital, but they were more of a traditional based advertising agency. So we didn't kind of get along after a year and a half, and they just fired me. So I said, okay, I want to do my own thing. I saw potential in Facebook, they didn't, I founded my own agency and went up from there. So I got my first clients with cold emails, which kind of sucked, but I built my online presence. I started building my online presence on Twitter, my personal brand, and actually because of that, now all of my clients come from Twitter. They originally find me on Twitter, follow me there, engage with my content, and later at a certain point convert. So that's pretty much all there is.
So you were a little too progressive for the agency you worked for then.
Yeah, I guess.
So let's just dive right into things. So, let me just give you some, anecdotal experience, I guess. I follow a lot of freelancers on Twitter, and a lot of them, I see them all the time. Either, they're just tweeting kind of the same thing over and over, stuffing like every hashtag imaginable into their tweet, linking usually to either like their, their homepage or maybe even a blog post. And I try to follow at least what they're doing. I've emailed a few of them before to ask them, like, results wise, how's that working out for you? And a lot of these people, I think, are using tools like Buffer or nowadays even tools like Edgar, which kind of automate a lot of the tweeting. So it's not like so to me, at least, the Twitter account isn't really a human being. It's more like a computer that's just on automated like rotation, sharing content and stuff. And when I talk to most of them, almost all of them have told me that they don't really see any direct correlation, I guess, to tweet created and, new project lead came in. How do you, I guess, first, what do you think about that? And I guess from there, what's your strategy? Like, what do you do differently?
So when I first started creating my personal brand, and when I noticed, the results coming in, I got clients, I thought everyone gets clients from Twitter. And I thought that was perfectly normal until I started talking with people and they were like, you get clients from Twitter, you get direct results, you get, clients say to you that they've come from Twitter. And I was like, yeah, sure. Don't you get clients from Twitter? And they're like, no, what are you doing differently? So I think that, many people make a big mistake of, just like you said, they tweet their homepage like all the time. They post numerous hashtags hoping they will reach someone else, which unfortunately is not the case. What I do differently is I try to create value. I try to, of course, besides, my personal tweets with my personal opinions on, dogs, cats, whatever, I try to create value. I try to teach people how to use social media. I reply to my comments. I reply to everything. I search for people who are looking for help with social media. So I try to create value. I try to help people. And when people see my Twitter feed, when they see the value I give, when they see my replies to others about, how to use social media, how to use Facebook, what's wrong with their Facebook page, when they see that I'm professional at this, they naturally visit my webpage, just check my blog, whatever, check who I am, and then convert at some point. Or like I said, the usual way is they follow me, engage with my content with a little bit, and then just, say, okay, so I was following you for a while now, and I think you're very, very interesting. I see that you have, that you're a professional at what you're doing, and I want to work with you. So I think everything is about creating value and helping people along the way, not just using Twitter as as pushing content, self-promotional content out, like just publishing the link to your homepage all the time. That's not how Twitter works.
But how do they find you to begin with? Is it more like people retweet your stuff, or are they searching? Like, what's the typical avenue for them finding you?
Yeah, a lot of them come from retweets. So I get retweeted a lot because, like I said, I create value, or I express my personal opinion. I'm really personal on Twitter. I express personal opinion about everything. I'm not like, if I have a personal opinion that remote work is the way to go, which, that's my personal opinion, I'm going to express that, and people are going to see that, retweet that, and the message will get spread. But also, I engage with people a lot. Like for you, I followed you for a while, engaged with your content, and then later you kind of noticed me and followed me back. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of my strategy. But I followed you. I engaged with you all the time. I was always in your newsfeed. I was always replying you. I wasn't really like replying to every tweet, but the tweet, when I had something to say, I said it. So I think that's how people find me on Twitter.
What do you think about, so I get a, you know, I notice a lot of people kind of, you know, they'll do that, which you mentioned, which is replying and actually like engaging in a conversation. And then there's some people who just favorite tweets or whatever. I mean, is that, does that happen too? Like where, like, I know there's some people who have these really kind of refined, or I don't know if refined is the right word, but systems where, you know, if somebody follows them, they'll auto follow them back. They'll automate like a DM that goes to them. And, you know, that's kind of like, yeah. They have this crazy thing going on where like I'm often on the receiving end of that. And I'm always like, yeah. I don't think I've ever responded to any of those DMs because I know they're, you know, I know and they're automated.
And that's the point. You never responded. And many people don't respond. So that's not the right way to go. That's a horrible, horrible way to go. Twitter should be, I use Buffer, but I don't use it like every day. I schedule my blog posts every now and then, but mostly I use Twitter from my mobile phone. I'm really, really, you know, I'm always checking my Twitter, and I'm not trying to follow people, like follow me back and waiting for their follow back and, favoriting, any hashtags, social media or whatever. I'm not doing this. I'm involved with Twitter and I'm involved with my audience. So I think automating that, you know, those things is a horrible strategy.
Right. What do you think about people who kind of camp out on certain search terms and then will just kind of cold reply to people who are tweeting stuff? Is that effective? Is it worth the time? Like, I mean, have you tried that before?
Yeah. When I started with my social media agency, I used Twitter search a lot, but I haven't automated. You know, I didn't automate a thing. I was literally going search.twitter.com and, I don't know, inputting like social media help or Facebook targeting help, you know, keywords like that. And I literally replied to people that had a specific problem, but I didn't reply like, check out my webpage, check out my blog. But I said, okay, what do you have a problem with? Can I help you with that? And I was really personal. So I got a few leads from that as well. But I wasn't automating a thing. I was doing all by hand.
It was natural. Yeah, it was natural. Yeah, which I think is kind of obvious when you're on the receiving end, what's natural and what's automated.
I think if they automate those things, you know, again, that's a horrible strategy because they're like, you know, I don't care about you. I just want you to visit my webpage. And then that's the message they're sending. And the people on the receiving end are getting that message. They're not going to click. So I think that's the important thing right here.
Right. So typical, like, you know, the typical freelancer who, let's say they have a Twitter following and it's kind of like their industry peers. It's, you know, through a web designer, it's fellow web designers, people they know through conferences and everything else. It's not exactly their kind of target audience, typically, at least. What, I mean, does it make sense to have like an alternate business social media presence that you would have for, let's say, your web design company that you would then, you know, tweet? I mean, personally, I have my personal Twitter account and, Facebook account, too.
Yeah.
I don't really have like a, there's no like double your freelancing Twitter account or anything like that. Is that something like, I mean, what, because I don't know. I would think that let's say I'm a web developer or web designer. Everyone who follows me is, you know, more or less kind of in that circle too.
Yeah.
Is the goal then to start expanding that to include, you know, business types and everything that aren't in that sphere?
Yeah, to be honest, I was struggling with the same thing when I started. I had this personal profile and I was thinking, do I create, you know, a separate one like Super Spicy Media or whatever? And I decided not to because Super Spicy Media was me, actually. That was my business and I wanted to communicate that. So I haven't set up a separate account for Super Spicy Media. I just use my own one and that proved to be the best. So I did talk to people who have set up separate accounts and they were swamped by all the work they had to do because they had two separate accounts. They needed to create a presence for each and every step. Because if you have a business account and people know that, you know, my personal account is linked to my business account, they're going to, if you forget to update one account, they're going to notice that.
Right.
So I just said, okay, I'm not going to create a separate account. I'm going to use my own. And that really proved to be the best because now people can see, first of all, my philosophy, like about remote work or anything else, and they can see who I am and see, okay, she has this agency called Super Spicy Media. I'm going to check. I like her philosophy. I like what she does. I like her opinion on cats or dogs or whatever. And I want to work with her because of her, not just because Super Spice Media is a great agency that, you know, has a great track record, but because Moitza is a great girl, and I wanted to do that, and that proved to be pretty much the one of the, you know, one of the best things I've done.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't think we can make a universal statement. I mean, for instance, like Delta, the CEO of Delta, you don't follow him personally. You follow Delta, the brand, on Twitter, because especially for the support and everything else, right? But I think for most of us, even if we have a small agency, I mean, I know quite a few people who run agencies. They're kind of the face of the agency, and their I guess, presence online is mostly their personal social stuff, right? I mean, people like engaging with people. I mean, people like to, I mean, I don't want to follow a company. I'm not as interested in that. I like following people.
Exactly. And I think people, if you want, like, for instance, I wanted some people who will be following me, I wanted them to convert. And they will convert when they trust me, when they trust that I'm a good person, and when they trust that I do good work. And I could communicate all of that through my personal account. They could see my personal tweets, and they could see my business tweets or whatever.
Right.
So they communicate, they, you know, just said, okay, she's obviously a great girl, and she does great work. And I want to work with her because of all of that. And I think, you know, that's a great way for freelancers nowadays, which, you know, like you said, pretty much a vast majority of them have, like, you know, their agency, they're the face of the agency. So I think, you know, that's the right way to go. But like you said, there's no universal answer to that.
Right. So what do you think of, I mean, you know, a lot of people like Nathan Berry have written about how, you know, email just blows social out of the water and everything like that. And I mean, I think there's, it's funny, the last time when I launched the second version of Double Your Freelancing Rate in 2014, I launched it on Twitter first, a few hours before emailing it out. And I think my Twitter following was about a third of my email list, right, in terms of size. And it was like night and day comparison, right? Twitter maybe got one sale or maybe two, I think. But then the majority all came in via email. So my personal method, I guess, my social strategy has always been, well, you know, the purpose of my social account is really just to kind of provide some humanity to newsletter that they're subscribed to, kind of in between the emails that go out, I guess.
Yeah.
And let people get kind of connect with me. You know, I occasionally tweet pictures of my kid, and I'm not doing like sharing like Foursquare check-ins or anything like that, like some people do, but you know, I try to make it human, I guess. I know you've got an email list too, and you're very kind of drinking that Kool-Aid also in terms of the effectiveness of email marketing, but how do the two relate? Like, how do you see the two relate to each other?
Yeah, first of all, I think, you know, it's a lot harder to opt in on email course or whatever than to follow people on Twitter. So that's pretty much, you know, why I think people will engage with Twitter more, because they kind of feel obligated to if they opted in. But like you said, I think Twitter is pretty much, you know, I'm using it the same way as you do. You know, I'm trying to kind of humanize myself, and I'm getting great results by it, actually. So I think, you know, of course, email list is important. It's one of the most important things you can do currently. And I think each and every freelancer out there should build their audience, and not only on Twitter, but email, you know, emails like first. So building an email list is important. But I think, you know, comparing Twitter to an email list, I wouldn't compare the two of them, because they don't have like the same they don't act like the same thing, because Twitter is for one thing, email is for other things. So I wouldn't really say that, you know, the comparison is easy, because I think they're, the email and Twitter are, you know, very, very different things. And I say you must, you have to build both of them. I know it's a lot of work, you know, and especially for freelancers, because they don't have a lot of time on their hands. But I think building both of them are, is important, especially, I think, you know, you have to be on Twitter nowadays. You know, that's a fact. People search for people on Twitter. If you're not on on Twitter, that's usually a sign of something's wrong, you know?
Yeah.
And I think, you know, that you have to, like you said, build a presence on Twitter. You have to be human. You have to be accessible by Twitter as well, not only through email. And I get the, you know, my results currently are, people read my emails, they convert through my emails, you know, they become clients for my emails as well. But they usually reply to me on Twitter. I don't get that many replies on emails, even though I ask them to, you know, share an opinion or whatever. But they usually share opinions on Twitter, or they read an article, or they read my newspaper, newsletter, and they post a comment on Twitter. They don't really communicate with me through email, because I think Twitter kind of gives you the accessibility, so they can access me on Twitter. They have a feeling that, you know, Twitter is more accessible. So
yeah. Yeah, I mean, I found personally that those who engage with me on Twitter, but are also almost always on my newsletter itself, they tend to be like the best subscribers I have in terms of both, you know, who are customers, along with who are just good people, right? I don't mean good people like that, like not an objective statement, but more like good as in like I actually know them. You know, when I go to a conference, for instance, and you know, there's usually a smattering of people there who are subscribed to my newsletter, but the ones that I talk to on Twitter, I'm like, oh, I know you.
you know?
Which I think is good. You know, it, like we keep saying, it adds that human element to the equation.
Yeah. And I think Twitter is, like you said, it's more personal. So I got, you know, email lists are important, but, you know, replying to an email is, they don't know when I'm going to read that email, when I'm going to reply. And if they reply me on Twitter, if they tweet to me, I'll reply, you know, I have just 140, you know, letters available, and I can reply just in 140 letters, and I'll reply pretty much instantly. Whereas on email, you don't really know when I'm going to reply, if I'm going to reply. And I think, you know, people engage with Twitter content much more than, you know, with email.
Right. So, you know, for let's say somebody's listening and they either don't have a Twitter account, we didn't really talk about Facebook account or Facebook like business pages, but they don't have, assume they don't have that also. Or they do have a Twitter account and they have like 30 followers and it's kind of like, you know, they haven't tweeted a while or in a while and they're not really active. Maybe they're more of like a passive consumer on Twitter. What, I mean, a lot of us are kind of strapped for time. What would be, I mean, how much time should somebody seriously dedicate to actually working on this versus all the other kind of marketing-ish things vying for their attention?
Yeah, first of all, like you said before, I think there's not a universal answer to this. I think everything is about, you know, testing what works for you best. So I pretty much, when I started, I set up a strategy and I said, okay, I'm going to, I don't know, tweet or, you know, just update my Twitter, reply to people 1 hour a day, you know, and I set up really, I scheduled time for Twitter and I said, okay, today I'm going to engage with Brennan. I see he has great content. He just tweeted out a great article. I'm going to write him a reply. So I just pretty much scheduled 1 hour a day for Twitter and that worked for me best. I said, okay, I'm going to use Twitter 30 minutes in the morning and 30 minutes in the evening. And I started with 1 hour. And my strategy pretty much was, like I said before, helping people and replying and engaging with their content. So I engaged with for example, I engage with you and some of the other people I really admire. I engage with my followers. I tweet it out when people reply to me. I reply to them back. I used Twitter search. And I just set up a strategy of, you know, replying to people, using Twitter search, engaging with their content, and also pushing my content out. And my content was always, always valuable. It wasn't like pushing out or see my homepage, this is my homepage, read my blog. I was trying to, you know, inform people about, like, I don't know, different audiences on Facebook, different targeting options. And I always tweeted that. I tweeted my personal opinion on things. But, you know, I started with 1 hour, and 1 hour worked for me best. So I think, but, you know, then you should, the freelancers are probably going to see, okay, 1 hour is not enough, or 1 hour is totally enough for me. And they're going to create a different strategy. They're going to modify that strategy. But I think everything is about testing on social media. No, there's usually not a universal answer to anything on social media. It's all about testing and, you know, seeing your personal results.
Would you say that it makes sense to, I mean, you mentioned, you know, tweeting me, tweeting to other people who you admire.
Yeah.
Would you say that it I mean, how much of the focus should be on, and I hate using this word, but like on targeting influencers or whatever else, as a way that then you can tend to get to know them better. You know, case in point, you and I built up this relationship. Now you're speaking at my conference, you know, so I mean, there's a degree of, there's a beneficial kickback in that. Right. So like, let's say you target, let's say you do something local and you, your client base, you like working with small retail shops. Would it make sense to really get to know the people, over social media who are involved at the local chamber of commerce or retail organizations, or maybe, you know, something like that, versus just the kind of everyone at large? Like,
to be honest, you know, it was kind of a natural thing for me. I wasn't saying, okay, I'm going to reply to Brennan because I want to speak at his conference.
Right. Yeah.
But it was a natural thing. You know, I read your content. I loved your content. And I said, oh, Brennan's on Twitter. I'm going to follow him. And whenever you had, I don't know, an interesting tweet that I could relate to and reply my personal opinion, I replied. I wasn't like intentionally going on Twitter, said, okay, let's see what Brennan's doing. I haven't done that, but it was really, really natural. And I think that natural is the only way to go if you don't want to be pushy, if you don't want to kind of off-put people when they see, okay, he's replying to my tweets every single day and, you know, none of it makes any sense. So I think everything should be really, really natural. If you can make it natural, good. But, you know, it was natural in my case, and I got plenty of clients from Twitter just because I really engaged with their content because I shared the same knowledge or I shared the same opinion. And I was like, yeah, you know, I think that as well. And just, you know, put my two cents in, and that was that. So I think it should be more of it was kind of a strategy, but it wasn't like, you know, like intentional one. I really admired you. I didn't want to, if I will be working with Brennan, good. But I just, you know, I replied to your content because it was great, you know, and it was a natural thing to do.
Right. I mean, it's not. Yeah. And that all makes, One tactic I've seen too is, you know, when I go to a conference, there's always somebody who is basically tweeting, really knowledge bombs that are coming out of somebody's talk, and they're always, you know, they're including the hashtag of the conference, and, you know, they're getting retweeted left and right. And I've seen that as one way that somebody is able to kind of kickstart their own following, especially given the, you know, if you're at a marketing conference and you're that person, you're going to end up with a lot of marketers following you. You know, I've seen that also on webinars and also with, like online summits and everything. I mean, I don't know if you've seen that too, but I've ended up following and retweeting a lot of these people who end up, I'm more likely to do that versus when somebody just cold contacts you and says, hey, I wrote this, you don't know me, I haven't given you, you know, there's no relationship between us, but will you tweet this out? And, you know, I mean, I don't know. Strategically, I think it's like you said, it's that value thing, right? Like you're providing exactly. value to the conference by being like the person who's kind of live tweeting the conference versus just the kind of, I don't want to say leech, but the person who's kind of like just cold, you know, spamming people and saying, hey, like, you know, promote me. And
exactly. Yeah. Know. And I think people can feel, you know, even on Twitter, people can feel if you're being pushy or if you're generating really great content, you know, or like you said, at conferences, you know, you have, I think, two types of people on conferences. First, you know, one type of people, tweets very valuable stuff because it's very valuable. And the second type of people is like tweeting all the time just because he wants to get new following, you know, new followers. And I think that can be very, very noticeable through Twitter as well. And you have to choose wisely. You have to, like I said, you have to act natural on Twitter because people can, you know, people can sense if you're being pushy and if you're doing that just because to get new followers and to get retweeted or whatever. People can sense that on Twitter. And that's, I think that's really important, just to act natural and do what you would do. You know, Twitter isn't a channel, you know, just for pushing out your content. You have to engage with people. You have to create value, not just be pushy all the time and, you know, just promote, you know.
Right. So, I mean, if I were to take away three big takeaways from our talk, I would say, first off, be natural. Don't be a machine. Don't be a
exactly
you know, RSS to tweet sort of thing, right?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Be a human being. Secondly, you know, provide value, whether it's in responding and instead of just saying maybe to somebody, hey, great article, tell them what you liked about it. Or, you know, I mean, try to provide feedback, try to provide, you know, constructive
yes.
stuff that people can use.
Yeah, exactly.
And I guess the third thing would be, you know, if you want to seriously commit to this, it shouldn't be something you just kind of keep open and work on throughout the day. It should be something you actually schedule. Right. It should be something that's a part of your either day to day or week to week things you do.
Yeah. And I know it's hard staying natural, you know, with scheduling an hour or so for tweeting. But, you know, you should like I said, you should schedule a time to tweet, but act natural on Twitter. So that's, I think, the big outtake as well. You know, it's hard to be natural when you're scheduling time, but you have to be natural in your communication, you know? So.
Yeah. I had no idea you were scheduling those replies to me.
Yeah. But I scheduled too much time to be
that's,
honest.
No, that's good though. But, cool. So Moshe, what's your Twitter account? Let's start with that.
Oh, it's Moitza Mars, but it's MOJCAMARS. So it's a bit harder to pronounce for English speaking people, but you know, English is my second language. So it's MOJCAMARS.
Okay. And your website is superspicymedia.com?
Exactly. Yeah.
Great. So Moshe, I just want to thank you again. And for anyone listening who is or wants to go to the Double Your Freelancing Conference in September, Moshe is going to be speaking. I think you're the furthest traveling, at least speaker.
Oh yeah.
at the conference. You're coming in from Slovenia, which is incredible.
To be honest, I have to already plan, you know, and buy airplane tickets.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah. Well, I can't wait to see you there. I can't wait to learn from you. And yeah, I'm really looking forward to hanging out.
Me too.
All right. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
All right. I hope you enjoyed that interview with Moshe. Again, if you want to meet her, if you'd like to hear her talk about social more in depth than we were able to talk about in this interview, you're not going to want to miss her presentation at the conference. If you want to go, there's still seats, doubleyourfreelancing.com/conf, C-O-N-F. And yeah, I hope you can make it to Virginia this year in September to meet her and to meet me and to meet everyone else who's going to be there. All right. Well, we will be back next week for another exciting edition of the Business of Freelancing podcast.